Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The resource of the month, Fragments of Truth. Can we trust the Bible? The answer is a resounding yes. Skeptics may say no. They may argue that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In this movie on DVD, you will find the answer to the skeptic and the reason for the hope that you have. And you'll learn to communicate that with gentleness and with respect. Fragments of Truth, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Well, today is St. Patrick's Day, and what an unusual St. Patrick's Day it is. The bars have been largely closed. The revelry is essentially silent, and St. Paddy's Day parades are nowhere to be seen. Who could have imagined this even a short year ago? And as I've said so often, we can curse the darkness or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. In other words, we can mourn the lack of frivolity or we can think more deeply than ever before about the meaning behind St. Patrick's Day. So first of all, who was St. Patrick? He was a 5th century saint, in fact now considered to be the patron saint of Ireland. This morning early, I watched a video by the president of Ireland talking about who St. Patrick was and what he meant to the Irish. He wasn't himself Irish, but he was a missionary to Ireland via Scotland. And when he arrived in Ireland, most of the Irish practiced a nature-based form of paganism. But through Patrick's work, God brought many in Ireland to repentance and faith. St. Patrick, he had a very solid Christian upbringing. And yet he lived at a time when the Roman Empire was under siege by barbarians. And when he was just 16 years of age, he was kidnapped by pirates and he was taken to Ireland. And then he was sold as a slave. And although a Christian, he had taken his faith for granted. But his captivity changed all of that. Upon freedom, his missionary zeal caused him to transform an entire country. During Vespers and Matins in the Orthodox Church, we remember the life of St. Patrick, and we sing a hymn celebrating God's work in his life. Here's the hymn, it says it all. Holy Bishop Patrick, faithful shepherd of Christ's royal flock, he filled Ireland with the radiance of the gospel, the mighty strength of the triune God. Now that you stand before the Savior, pray that he may persevere us in faith and love. From slavery, you escaped to freedom in Christ's service. He sent you to deliver Ireland from the devil's bondage. You planted the word of the gospel in pagan hearts. In your journeys and your hardships, you rivaled the Apostle Paul. Having received the reward for your labors in heaven, never cease to pray for the flock you have gathered on earth. One more thing about St. Patrick, and that's the clover. It's the ubiquitous symbol of St. Patrick's Day. For many, it's merely a symbol of good luck. But for St. Patrick, it was symbolic of the Trinity, one in essence and inseparable. There are so many lessons that we can learn from the life of St. Patrick. There's an article on the web I read early this morning titled, "Is St. Patrick an Orthodox Saint?" And Robert Arakaki, in this article, lays out many, many points. And I highly recommend that you read his article. But here are just a few of the lessons we can learn. The first is that God uses difficult circumstances as the cauldron in which spiritual growth is forged. When St. Patrick was taken into captivity, he learned a language and he learned a culture that enabled him to transform it. I think a second lesson is life is fragile. The coronavirus makes it seem as though the world as we know it is on the verge of disintegration. And so it was with Patrick in his day. He lived during a time when barbarians were in process of sacking the Roman Empire, a time in which the Roman Empire was sliding into an age of chaos and darkness. And yet, as it turned out, Roman civilization would endure for another 1,000 years. The third thing that I think of is being put on the shelf for a time allowed St. Patrick to immerse himself in prayer and meditation. And that might be a good cue for you as well. Netflix is not the only answer for passing time during the coronavirus. The triple braided cord of fasting, prayer, and giving alms may well be a better use of your time. A fourth lesson you can learn is that the interruptions in the flow of life caused by coronavirus can either build strength of character or, conversely, reveal its weakness. If you feel spiritually weak, now's the time to do something about it. A fifth lesson. St. Patrick's life, well, it's a great reminder of the importance of the Great Commission, a reminder that, as Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew has well said, there is a direct link between the oneness of Christians after the image of the Trinity and the missionary dimension of the Church. The Church, as a mystery of mutual Trinitarian love, is true to itself only if the circle of love is being constantly enlarged, only if new persons are continually being brought within it. Faith in the triune God signifies that we are each of us missionaries dedicated to the preaching of the gospel. And then a sixth and final point. St. Patrick reminds us that the Church of Jesus Christ was forged in persecution. Today I was thinking about Ignatius of Antioch. He was a disciple of the Apostle John. He lived where the disciples were first called Christians. He was apprehended in AD 110 for being a Christian and sentenced to fight wild beasts in Rome. And so he was marched in chains across Asia Minor to Troas. And there he was finally put on a ship that took him to his martyrdom in Rome. During the time he was traveling across Asia Minor, he wrote 7 letters. And what you see in those letters is that Ignatius was, as John Chrysostom had so eloquently put it, he was a soul seething with divine eros. the one thing Ignatius does not want for Roman Christians to do is to interfere with his martyrdom. Why? Because, as he put it, at this very moment I'm beginning to be a disciple. I'm voluntarily dying for God. If that is, you do not interfere. I plead with you, do not do me an unseasonable kindness. Let me be fodder for the wild beasts. That is how I can get to God. I am God's wheat, and I am being ground by the teeth of wild beasts to make a pure loaf for Christ. St. Paddy's Day, celebrate it rightly. We'll be right back. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
With so many competing claims about the accuracy of the Gospel manuscripts, it can be difficult to discern fact from fiction. In the film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans examines the oldest available New Testament manuscripts in order to separate sober scholarship from sensationalism and set the record straight regarding the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts. To receive the DVD Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the Gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the New Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence, demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are celebrating St. Paddy's Day. And as I mentioned in the first segment today, he evangelized the pagan culture of Ireland. And I was thinking about that in terms of the question that so many people are asking today. What distinguishes Christianity from other religions? What makes Christianity special? And we can say as Christians that our faith is unique among the religions of the world. Why do I say that? Because unlike other religions, Christianity is rooted in history and in evidence. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was born during the reign of Caesar Augustus. He was put to death by a real historical person, Pontius Pilate, a first century Roman governor. The testimony of his life, his death, his resurrection is validated by credible eyewitness testimony and by credible extra-biblical evidence as well. No other religion, none, can legitimately claim that they have this kind of support from both history and evidence. A second point I would make in this regard is that all the influential religious leaders of the world, think Buddha, or Zoroaster, or Krishna, or Muhammad, only Christ claimed to be God in human flesh. And of course, that wasn't an empty boast. Through historically verifiable fact, the resurrection is rooted in history and evidence. It is a real historical event. We can say that Jesus suffered fatal torment, that the tomb was empty. Jesus appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he had risen from the dead, and the disciples were utterly transformed as a result of his resurrection. And of course, Christ vindicated his claim to deity. Other religions such as Buddhism and Islam claim miracles in support of their faith. However, unlike Christianity, these miracles lack historical validations. Christianity is unique. It's unique in that it's a coherent belief structure. Some Christian doctrines may transcend comprehension. However, unlike the claims of other religions, they are never irrational or contradictory. Christianity is unique in that it cogently accounts for the vast array of phenomena that we encounter in everyday life. Think about the human mind or the laws of science, the laws of logic or ethical norms. Justice, love, meaning in life, the problem of evil and suffering. Think about truth. My point is that Christianity corresponds with the reality of our present condition. Now, someone may well ask, well, don't all religions lead to God? Well, I think I've answered that question. But anyone answering that question in our culture has to be prepared to be ostracized, prepared to be called narrow-minded, prepared to be called intolerant. And yet, let me say it clearly, not all religions lead to God. It is incorrect, it is illogical to suppose that they do. And I say that for good reason. When you begin to examine world religions, religions like Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism, you immediately recognize that they directly contradict one another. Let me not just make that as a dogmatic assertion. Let me make that a defensible argument. Here's the contradiction. Moses taught that there was only one God. Krishna believed that there were many gods. Buddha, of course, was agnostic. Now, here's the point. Logically, they can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. But there's a second point that I can add to the first, and that is the road of religion leads steeply uphill. The road of Christianity, conversely, descends downward. Let me put that another way. Religion is fallen humanity's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to God through what we do. Christianity, on the other hand, is a divine gift based on what Christ has done. He lived the perfect life that we could never live, and he offers us his perfection. It is absolutely incredible that we can be cloaked with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But of course, the story of redemption is not only from fall to Jesus Christ, not only from the first Adam to the second Adam, but it's from creation all the way to deification, for we are being transformed. We are being made more and more like Jesus Christ. And that process will never end, no, not even in eternity. At any rate, there's a third point I want to make. And that is that Jesus taught that there was only one way to God. It's one thing for me to say it. It's quite another for Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God in human flesh, to say, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. So Jesus Christ is not only truth, outside the truth that has been comprehended by the whole church, reality would be clouded. It would be a mixture of truth and falsity, of realism and that which is not real at all. And yet, the Christian faith transcends truth. It is an accumulation of knowledge that transcends knowledge. And that ultimate accumulation of knowledge is transcending knowledge to the end goal of becoming one with God, meaning experiencing life in the Holy Trinity. So again, Jesus not only said that he was the way to the Father, but he was the truth and the life. In him, we may experience the life that is life to the full. And Jesus also said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is saying he is definitively the only way to the Father. And it's one thing to say that. It's another to validate your statement. And he did that through the immutable fact of his resurrection. He had the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again, thus demonstrating that he was indeed the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And, says the Apostle Paul, he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Bottom line is this: the opinions of all other religious leaders are equally valid in that they're equally worthless. Those leaders died and are still dead. Only Jesus had the power to lay down his life and take it up again, and thus his opinion is infinitely more valid than all of theirs collectively. So don't all religions lead to God? The answer, emphatically, no. Well, we're out of time for this Paddy's Day broadcast on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the resources that I talk about. You can find on the web at equip.org. When you support the ministry, you're making a difference in the lives of people all around the world. Do go to the web and check out our podcasts, our resource of the month, and much, much more. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the new Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.